things, we're going to talk about a very important thing. And I want you to listen, because around the world, people's rights are being impacted on. If you criticize government in Russia today, for example, if you have an anti-war stance in Ukraine, chances are you're going to be sitting out some time in a jail somewhere. And the question we want to ask is, could the proposed protection of constitutional democracy against terrorist and related activities amendment bill, yes, it's a mouthful, it is up for public comment at this moment in time, could it be used to criminalize criticism of the government? And of course, the government has been taking a lot of criticism on a whole lot of fronts. Are they looking to maybe curb us in our criticism of them? So this public participation process ends on October the 18th, and advocacy group Dear Essay is encouraging you and I to make our voices heard before it's too late. Joining me on the line is Rob Hutchinson, chairperson of Dear Essay. Good morning to you, Rob, and thank you for this particular opportunity.
Good morning. No, thank you for the opportunity.
No, I think it's important. I think it's important that we all lend a voice to this particular issue. Maybe we should just understand why this bill was mooted in the first place.
Well, it's a very problematic bill. You know, it's been around for quite some time, and it has been effective in its current form, or rather the Act has. But this bill proposes changes to the actual act that controls terrorism and protects the constitutional democracy. And it does seem to be a great example of government overreach, and also at the same time, a highlight of how ineffective government is at implementing certain bills. The problems with this bill are quite extensive. They do propose that anybody who is outspoken against the government or government policies and so on can be listed as a terrorist or be conducting terrorist activities. I mean, the definitions are quite broad, so it could be anything, which is quite a problem for South Africans.
And quite a surprise, I think, for a whole lot of South Africans. If there's one thing that government has excelled in, then it's allowing us to talk and allowing for a free press and allowing us to criticize. We are absolutely free to criticize government in post-apartheid South Africa, at least more so than prior to 1994. Are you saying that they're trying to reel us in? Is this what you're reading in? And is this what we should be reeling in or reading into this bill?
Definitely. So the third section of the bill, which is around addressing challenges experienced with conducting investigations and prosecutions, well, that's how they've built it, it does do exactly that. It does seem to encroach on personal freedoms, human rights, and so on by curbing freedom of expression and or association, which is a definite problem for, say for instance, for investigative journalism. If they find something or investigative journalist uncovers something that potentially places the state at risk or an individual in government at risk, they could be seen as a terrorist and undermining democracy. And the same goes for nonprofit organizations conducting their normal day-to-day nonprofit work. The same could be said for them. The same could be said for individuals who participate in the processes that we run, in other words, public participation, or even people who send in petitions, they could be deemed as undermining the state process. And it's not too far-fetched of a notion to think or to interpret the bill as that. As our organization has been labeled as a terrorist organization in the past, and all we did was quite a few comments to the Minister of Health on the amendments to the Health Act. And when I say quite a few, we sent about 300,000. So it could be a problem there. And we were labeled as terrorists and sabotaging democratic processes. Now, if this bill did come into play and is enacted, then we could be seen as a terrorist organization, shut down, thrown in jail, prosecuted, who knows what. And quite possibly all 300,000 people who participate too.
There's a trend around the world to clamp down on these kind of freedoms. But before we get there, when the bill was introduced to Parliament, Police Minister Bheki Cele said it aimed to update the existing act to give effect to certain constitutional court judgments and to address challenges experienced with conducting investigations and prosecutions. clearly said particular provisions had been inserted to cater for foreign terrorist fighters and to address the sentencing of the financing of terrorism. It sounds like there's merit in that rationale, but you're saying there's more to it than that.
Definitely, definitely. There's definitely merit in that, and we support it. I mean, everybody should support such a notion. We do need to curb terrorism and the financing thereof. In fact, South Africa has been highlighted as a hub or a hotspot for such activity, where many centralized terrorist groups organize and funds flow through South Africa. So it does need to be addressed. However, we do have existing legislation in place. This bill is just an amendment to that existing legislation. However, the existing legislation is more than adequate. What we're seeing here is a lack of ability to implement the existing legislation. Although there have been some cases where government has managed to stop terrorism and terrorist acts. There was recently a few cases where those two individuals wanted to join ISIS and so on, and they were curbed, and the investigation was a success. So you're right, it is an international move here that has been forced upon South Africa to apparently avoid being grey-listed as a country. But it does seem to be a severe overreach and definitely in conflict with our constitution.
And have you looked at international alternatives or international examples of such a bill? And is it aligned with such international standards?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it is. That, as I said, it's been pushed by international organization, actually the Financial Action Task Force, which is a global group and has put South Africa under pressure. However, that pressure is more on the financing of terrorist organizations. Yes. And interestingly enough, there is a second bill, which is actually running at the same time as this and closes on the 10th for public comment. And that is around the financing of terrorist activity within the Republic. But all of that should be based around financial laws, not the loose definition of terrorism and related activities. It's unclear in this bill what a terrorist is or what defines terrorist activity. And that's a dangerous place in such a severe law.
A question in for you, Rob. Hi, Clarence, can you ask your guest if this bill is passed, does that mean if I sign a petition calling for the resignation of the president, for example, will I be prosecuted? Tim wanting that answer.
Yes, it is possible. There's, in fact, you would be undermining the state then, trying to overthrow the state. So yes, there you could be, under the loose definitions of the bill, you could be seen as a terrorist, and that could be a terrorist act, yes.
Question, Tina
Jumit. Terrifying.
Yeah, sure. Tina Jumit Peterson, Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Police chairperson, she says that the bill was intended to align the principal law with international legal requirements and also ensure that South Africa was able to act decisively against terrorist attacks and support of terrorist activities. Again, you say there is merit in that kind of argument, but the bill requires more alignment on the economic front to prevent the support of terrorist organizations. Are you seeing development of such thought on that front at all?
Yes, we have. As I said, there's that other bill that is out for comment that does cater for more of the financing side of terrorism and terrorism act. And it also does cater for non-profits and how non-profits handle money, large donations and international transfers. And a lot of focus is placed on the non-profit and religious sector, as that seems to be the area where funds are transferred and so on to fund illicit operations. But yeah, it's two separate matters which they seem to have conflated into one. And again, that does pose a bit of a problem here.
I also noticed that AfriForum said that while it welcomed the state's commitment to incorporating international norms into domestic law, it feared that the bill was overreaching. It kind of agrees with you on that front, and a threat to the rule of law and constitutional guarantees. They were also critical of the lack of funding and skills to implement the current legislation, which AfriForum believed would not be addressed by introducing more legislation. So aligned there, let's see what the Red Cross says. The Red Cross said they were concerned by the absence of a clause within the bill to exempt from criminalization exclusively humanitarian action carried out by humanitarian and impartial organizations. I think your position kind of is aligned there. Should we be paranoid? I mean, this is open for a public process of course, commentary. Should we be paranoid? Are we going to see more of these kind of things happening, just kind of, again, impacting our freedoms as we know it?
Yes, I don't think we should be paranoid, but paranoia doesn't assist in anything. But we should be proactive in our approach and understand that the state does want more power and control over people. And there are many, many new amendments to bills that are being proposed. And they do definitely encroach on human rights and in most cases do undermine our pretty progressive constitution. So I wouldn't panic. I wouldn't fear or get paranoid. But the great thing about our constitution is that it does guarantee you involvement. It does promote involvement in policy formation. And therefore they have to put it out for public comment and actually have to acknowledge and consider every single public comment that does come in. So we are encouraging non-profit groups, organizations, the public at large to have their say on this bill. It will collate all the results as well as sending them through to government, and we'll keep a public record of this and keep a close eye on the development of this bill.
So you've been mobilizing responses to this bill during this period of public participation. Just how enthusiastically have organizations and the public responded up and until now?
Fantastically well. I think the threat is pretty clear to individual citizens as well as other groups, and especially church bodies. They're pretty much ungoverned. And I think this could be a way for the government to actually control all of the groups. We've seen a great uptake on the bill so far, and we're looking at around 9,000 people who have actually sent individual comments through our system in the past 48 hours, which is a really good approach. We do believe that this is quite possibly one of the most important bills that has been put out, and it even threatens what we do as an organization and pretty much every other nonprofit out there. So we're expecting a huge uptake before the 18th, and hopefully that will convince government to rethink this bill, withdraw it, and maybe tighten up the definitions around terrorist and terrorist activity.
We're asking the question, could the proposed Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorist and Related Activities Amendment Bill, it is a mouthful. It's up for public comment at this moment in time. Can it be used to criminalize criticism of the government? And of course, you're welcome to join this conversation. Of calls on 021-446-0567, or your WhatsApp messages on 072-567-1567. Our guest via Zoom is Rob Hutchinson, chairperson of Dear SA. And he says this proposed bill could put an end to petitions and public participation. It could turn churches into terrorist organizations and in an absolute flash. And for that reason, you need to be making your comments heard. And I think we need to find out exactly how. And if you don't mind, Rob, we're going to come back to this conversation in a short while. Okay, so we're talking about this bill, July 2022. South Africa's Police Minister, Bheki Cele, of course, introduced a draft bill to update the country's existing counter-terrorism law. Now, the proposed amendments include expanded definitions of acts of terrorism, strengthened investigative and prosecutorial provisions, and criminalizing the publication of unlawful terrorism-related content. But they don't provide for the applicability of international humanitarian law, and a lack of clear exemption of of legitimate humanitarian activity. And that, according to an article by Otatilia Anna Mwangadinitsi in the Defense Web. Joining us, of course, via Zoom is dear chairperson of Dear SA, Rob Hutchinson. How can we be active participants in this public process? Please tell us.
Yeah, the easiest way, we've created a fantastic platform which is dedicated to public participation. It's available at dearsouthafrica.co.za, and people can go there, find out all the documents, watch a few videos, get all the information about this bill, the threats that it does pose, and have their say by just entering their name, surname, selecting their top reason, if whether they support the bill or not, and then providing a comment. And we do encourage people to provide a comment, not just a voting system, but government is expecting concise comment on this bill, and we therefore encourage people to have their say and offer suggestions, solutions, and so on. And that's on our platform at dearsouthafrica.co.za.
A question in for you, and then we're going to have to wrap, unfortunately. If I say that due to lack of acting on advice, the ANC government and not Eskom management is to blame for the current Eskom crisis, or if I say, why is Zuma not charged with treason, can I be charged? Sue in Darling with that question.
Yes, Sue. Well, the problem is that the definitions are so broad. Anything could be defined as a terrorist activity. And the definitions within this amendment bill are not clear at all. There's no clear definition as to what constitutes a terrorist activity. So it's up to the state to decide at the time and up to them to then deem you as a terrorist or not. So yes, I would say yes to everything that they've proposed, anything that goes against the state's current viewpoints or opinions or anything like that, even suggestions, petitions against the state, petitions against service delivery could all be seen as terrorist activity.
Okay, there's a really great article in Defense Web as well. I think Rob Hutchinson has sketched the scenario very adequately. But if you want to read some more about it, careful balance needed to advance humanitarian action while countering terror. It also kind of breaks down some of the issues that we have on the continent around terrorism and related activity. So you may want to read that to completely familiarize yourself with issues at stake. And again, Rob, what is that website that you are driving us to be active in this process of telling government, no, it's not going to fly?
It's dearsouthafrica.co.za.
dearsouthafrica.co.za. Just maybe a little more, just to wrap up, what is Dear SA all about?
Well, we are an organization that promotes and facilitates public participation in these bills. As I did mention, it's a constitutional right to have your say, and government is supposed to involve the public in policy formation. But they don't do such a good job of it, so we fill that gap and provide the public with the means to do so.
And we thank you for exactly that, Rob Hutchinson, chairperson of Dear SA. Now, it's nearly 9:30. Don't forget, The Naked Scientist is going to be with us after news headlines in a short while. And I'd like to urge you to please send your questions in. And I see you've been lekker active on that front. But the reason why I'm asking you now is because people send it in late and then we can't get to your very important questions. So send it in now. Of course, you can send it via WhatsApp on 0725671567.